What's Trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one centers around the coaching carousel. We'll dive into this deeper after What's Trending. But Ben Johnson expected to officially be named the head coach of the Bears and introduced, I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, but he's in the facility. I saw a video of him already greeting some of the staff members that are in like the corporate office, if you will, as sure. He walked in. He has been the OC in Detroit for numerous years. He was rumored to be a head coach in Canada in each of the past few years. He decided to actually leave this go around. There was some people wondering, like, hey, man, if you don't leave now, are you going to be the hot name anymore? For what the Bears need, I think it's a fantastic hire. Doesn't mean that he's going to go on and lead them to Super Bowl titles. No, of course not. I have no idea. But when you have a young quarterback that's extremely talented in Caleb Williams, you have a young receiver in Roma Dunze, you already have DJ Moore, you need that offense to be legit, and that he's going to do. The rest of the stuff, I don't know. We'll find out. Now, he hired Dennis Allen to be his defensive coordinator, expected to hire Dennis Allen. But that's where things stand in Chicago. Also, Aaron Glenn, the other coordinator in Detroit, the defensive coordinator, seems like he's the favorite to land the New York Jets job. So Dan Campbell's going to lose both coordinators, it appears. And that'll be a fun offseason storyline. All right, what does Jared Goff look like without Ben Johnson? What does that whole team look like without that? And now Dan Campbell having to have a couple new coordinators.
I mean, it certainly does open up the kind of door for that and how they'll handle those. We know eventually that comes up with Patrick Mahomes or other guys, but yeah, at least that's the new thing for Dan Campbell, how he handles some attrition, certainly in his coaching staff. Next up on What's Trending, national championship game last night, Ohio State becoming the national champion, winning 34-23 over Notre Dame. They're an 8.5-point favorite, so they cover that number. Notre Dame came back late, tried to make it interesting. It was a blowout. And then Notre Dame tried to make it interesting, got it within a score. Still, we're going to have to get a stop and go down and score. We're unable to make that comeback overall. Former Kansas State Wildcat Will Howard, the starting quarterback of the national champion, made a huge throw on third down all the way down the field to Jeremiah Smith, which obviously sealed the deal for them at that point. So kudos to Will Howard. I still don't know how K-State fans are supposed to feel about it. I'd say if you liked him at K-State, be happy for him as the person for winning at Ohio State, but it's an objective win for him. He made a bunch of money. He got to go to a national championship team, and now he'll get to be an Ohio State legend. He'll get to just, like, drink for free in Columbus and go to, like, alumni events for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it's an awesome story. And, you know, it's not often. Very few times in sports do you have the kind of the fairy tale ending and a decision made and kind of forced out, if you will, as well.
He's forced out.
And you said it. He made some more money to go to Ohio State. Then he wins the Natty. And the way he played last night, we'll find out with the draft process. I'm not saying he's going in the first two rounds, but he earned himself
third, fourth round.
He earned himself some money last night in terms of, I think he's going to get drafted a little bit higher because of a performance like that. That was really, really impressive. Next up on What's Trending tonight, we'll find out who is going to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. That is today. New on the ballot this year. I'm not going to name everybody. Some of the guys on the ballot: Carlos Gonzalez. You have somebody like Ichiro, CC Sabathia, Brian McCann, Ben Zobrist. There's a couple of them that are more of locks than others. Also, 14 former players are on the ballot again after receiving 5% of the overall vote. Here's who was very close last year. So Billy Wagner's going to get in this go around. He was already at 73.8% a year ago. He's getting in. You need the 75 or whatever. Andrew Jones, his eighth year, 61%. Beltran only got 57%. We all know the backstory there. A-Rod, same thing. I mean, the numbers for A-Rod and stuff are there, but it goes back to the steroids crap. 34% of the vote. So we'll see how many get in this go-around. Any candidate who gets 75% will earn election to the Hall of Fame.
I feel like even if you're a... And I've never understood the logic, but even if you're a no-steroid user should get into the Hall of Fame. The hell's that got to do with Beltran? He cheated when he was a bench coach for the Astros. That has literally nothing to do with his accolades as a Major League Baseball player and why you would be voting for him, other than this stupid clause that writers hang on to forever, which is like the morality part of it.
Yeah.
It's the same reason even people you don't like Curt Schilling, were able to get
in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, of course they should be in the Hall of Fame. Just put him in. Stop trying to like grandstand.
I think it'll be interesting. Where's the percentage going? Beltran's at 57.1 last year. This will be his fourth year on the ballot. Does it get to, like, can he get above 60 this year at least and try to slowly inch his way closer and closer? Or is it going to stay or go down? Because you don't have to vote for a certain number of players. You can only vote for 10, I believe. But like Wagner will be one of those. Everybody, virtually everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people put on their ballot. So then who's next? Ichiro. Can he be unanimous? There's only been a few. Like, Ichiro's getting in his first year. Nobody's going to not put him in, but we'll find out later on tonight. In general, the Baseball Hall of Fame is kind of a joke these days, but
I get it. Like, some leagues just put everybody in. The Major League Baseball tends to be a little more intense about it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I just think that it's kind of silly some of the guys don't get in, and then they just decide for whatever reason.
That is what's trending.
I forgot.
Here on Cody and Gold. And
somebody here on the text line reminded me I forgot to check the time of the national championship ending last night. I know it ended before 11. But I will say,
I just got a Venmo, huh?
Yeah, you know what?
Thank you for paying off.
I forgot. Honestly, I've got to send Drew a Venmo now. Here's the $10 for the 2U.
That
first quarter killed me.
That's all it took.
The game still ended at like 10.
It did.
15.
10-15, 10-20. But that first quarter, I mean, it would have been 10-45.
It would have been 10:30 or 10:40.
Had that game not taken 10 minutes off the clock.
The first quarter.
The shortest first quarter in maybe NCAA history.
The first quarter ensured that Drew and I were winning our bet with you. I would say even without that, it probably finishes at 10:30, 10:45. But it was 11. You gave us too much runway. 11 o'clock, man.
Well, you originally said 10:15, and I'm like, get out of here. And it ended by then. But it took a lightning quick first quarter.
It did.
Way faster than any normal first quarter for the NCAA. So. You gave me 2-1. That's why
I appreciate you paying off the bet. That's very nice. Some people take longer. No, I mean, we were going to get to it today. I was going to see. I wasn't worried about it, but I appreciate it.
I'll be honest. I almost totally forgot. Thank you, Cody.
No problem. You know what? You get a coffee, hopefully monkey attack free on Major.
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't think you drink coffee, but you know, you get the point. Get get an iced tea. What's your beverage of choice, Drew, if you're like going to a drive-thru spot?
I would say... I would get a coffee. Maybe actually.
I see him drink coffee.
Maybe a tea.
You usually go to. What do you get at Quick Trip? You go every morning to Quick Trip, and you come back like this.
Rooster Booster.
32 ounce looks like it's filled with Rooster Booster.
In fairness, Cody's a driveway or drive through.
No, I know. Now we're just talking
like
about
Starbucks. You can get like an energy drinky thing.
In general, I'll get a Mountain Dew Code Red. That's what I'll get at the gas station.
Code Red. You get some Doritos as well.
No, but
he's gonna go burn out some midnight hours in gaming.
Yeah, so I was like, get the Code Red with the Doritos. Drew's got his Xbox controller.
I don't know if anybody's worried about this based on the refereeing stuff. And now I can't play my song
because
it was blocked by True Green Thumb, which I made about the refs, and I thought we all agreed on. The official Super Bowl officiating crew has been announced.
Okay.
The head referee will be Ron Torbert. Does that move the needle for you?
Don't care for Ron Torbert.
Oh, interesting. Drew's not a Ron. Did he do something?
He notoriously is not a Bengals fan in the least. He might be a Steelers fan, I think, is the consensus.
I don't believe he's officiated any of the Chiefs Super Bowls so far.
Okay. Fresh blood.
The fact that the Ravens won't be
in
it either,
Mahomes
I feel
record
like
that's what I was
saying.
Like
the same thing.
I feel like there won't be any rigging given that the Ravens were not in it either. There's no AFC North teams in it. So it should be a clean game.
Because it turns out the AFC guy he's like 500 with, right? The guy in the AFC conference game?
For Sunday.
Yeah.
Who is that?
I don't remember.
Artie Blakeman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Cleet?
Cleet
Blakeman. Cleet. That's a name, man. I can't believe Cleet Blakeman ended up as an NFL referee and not like possum hunter in like the deep south. Cleet Blakeman?
The last game that Ron Torbert did for the Chiefs was none this year. Yeah, he did not officiate a single Chiefs game this year.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
That's weird. He did not officiate a Chiefs game last year. The last game he officiated was January 29th, 2023, AFC title game Chiefs-Bengals against the Chiefs.
No, hold on.
That's it.
And what happened?
The Bengals lost.
Thank you. I told you. Ron Torbert, it never fails.
He hates the Bengals. Did say that before.
Like, I know there's the Bengals. Like,
I know there's a rotation. I know there's a rotation, and so like you'll say, hey, the math is just the math, but I don't know. I find it pretty crazy. He hasn't officiated Chiefs game in 2 years.
That is wild.
It is
and
funny.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it is
weird.
Funny to see the refs.
How does that even work itself out?
It's funny to see the refs who are not on the field, but the ones who are next to the coaches. Because I believe Cleet Blakeman.
Yes.
I can't remember if he was in Kansas City this past
alternates.
Weekend. He looked so uncomfortable. He looked like he was ready to just go home and be. He was freezing. It looked like he was
cold.
He did not want to be out there.
The last game, Torbert. Referee was
Tolbert.
That's exactly what I'm the fullback or whatever,
yeah.
the bowling ball for
that's
the Chargers.
That's exactly who you're thinking of when you're saying Tolbert.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's just like
right.
Deep in the like back part of your brain.
He officiated the Lions Commanders game this past Saturday night.
They missed a face mask call.
They did. Oh boy.
Mm. and
a lot of people were complaining about Jared Goff getting planted as they ran back one of the pick sixes.
The question is, of the two remaining NFC teams,
he's a blocker at that point. Get out of the way. You don't want to get hit.
Eagles and Commanders, he's done the last 2 weeks. He's officiated a Commanders game and an Eagles game. Yeah, conspiracies.
Well.
And then by the time he gets to the Super Bowl, he will have just done those. Is he in the NFC title game?
No. Oh, okay. I don't believe so. Huh. Usually they don't have the...
Oh, they get to kick it for a week and then wait, or 2 weeks, I guess, in this case. Mm-hmm. Okay, good to know. You'd mentioned the NFL head coaching cycle. Ben Johnson of the Bears seems like the fit we've all just assumed was going to be the case for like a year.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson turned down a job. He clearly wanted a job where he'd have some personnel say, but more importantly, would have a functional enough quarterback that he could immediately hit the ground running and not go take some loser franchise with no hope. Now, I'll say, as a history, the Bears do not have a tremendous franchise record, although I guess they've been to the Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl like 20 years ago, probably. So they got more of a history than Buffalo in that department, or some of the others like Cincy, who have never won one. But they haven't been involved in a very long time. This is about a perfect fit. Will it work? Time will tell. If I were the Chicago Bears and I was in charge of the hiring, I would have only gone Ben Johnson or stability hire. I would have only chosen that, or like the former head coach who, like Dan Quinn level, right? I would just go McCarthy, or I would go that route to just make sure that we're not a laughingstock organization anyway. I would have only gone those two ways. No other coordinator. I wouldn't have been Liam Cohen. No, nobody else would have interested me other than Ben Johnson, I guess, in that department.
Yeah, I would not have kept their existing coaching staff last year. And I thought it was a mistake. Oh, no. We mentioned that in the summertime that Shane, you know, Waldron wasn't going to work out. They should have just blown the whole thing up a year ago. They decided not to. Now they get Ben Johnson, and we'll find out, you know, how the leadership aspect and everything, culture, all that stuff that gets thrown around, how that goes from a, hey, fixing Kayla Williams, if you want to call that, if he needs fixing, but like Kayla Williams, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, like the weapons they have there,
the
I think Ben Johnson can make that work. They do need to draft some offensive line help or sign an offensive lineman. That is accurate. But I think if you take a look at the offense in Detroit, some people will just say, well, of course it was great. He had all these weapons. He had weapons. He also made Jared Goff into a potential MVP candidate over the last 2 years. And Kayla Williams is just more athletically gifted than Jared Goff. So I don't think it's crazy to believe that he can turn Kayla Williams into a stud in this league. I think he will. Is he going to win a Super Bowl? I have no clue. Is he going to win the division in the next 2 years? I have no idea. But it is the right fit at the right time for that organization. And it's a huge swing and a miss for the Las Vegas Raiders, who for a lot of people viewed him as the favorite over the weekend to go there. He ends up choosing Chicago.
Now it seems like whoever they choose, we know that that's not who they really wanted.
For
they'll
sure.
say, when they sit down at their press conference, they'll be like, this was our guy. From day one, we always wanted
Brian Flores.
I was going to say that guy from the Georgia,
Todd Monken.
We always wanted Todd Monken. Like, no one's coaching search started like, our only guy is Todd Monken. That was never said inside a facility. Maybe it's the guy you end up going with, but he was never your top choice. And don't try to talk us into the other. Ben Johnson has been the single hottest head coaching candidate for two consecutive years. And for good reason, he has made Jared Goff look like an MVP candidate for two consecutive years. So kudos. Yep. He didn't win the MVP, but he made him an MVP candidate for two consecutive years. It is always interesting because this is one of my favorite is we get to learn whether or not Dan Campbell's system works no matter what, or if Dan Campbell's system requires an offensive guru, right? Or at least perceived offensive guru in Ben Johnson to work. Because they'll still have the weapons. Gibbs will still be there. Jared Goff will still be there. Jameson Williams. Like, they're not losing their offensive weapons. They'll be a lot healthier on defense, too.
It's tough. You're replacing your OC and DC in the same offseason. Because most people think Aaron Glenn's going to also.
Chiefs have gone through those in years, or at least back-to-back years, or close, right?
And not the same offseason, though, of losing OC.
Back-to-back years. Yeah.
OC and DC, like, in the same offseason. That's tough. And we'll see.
I don't know if this is I don't want to say it's a precursor to say that Spags would be hired or Nagy would be hired, but the fact that we still have. How many openings are there? I mean, there's only been two that have been filled. There's still four openings
left? Well, the way they do the process now, some of the rules with when you can interview in Canada drags on longer.
Because as far as I know, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's name has come up, but nobody from Philly other than, I guess, Kellen Moore's name has come up. Spags and Nagy have come up. Nobody from Buffalo. Joe Brady.
Liam Cohen and Aaron Glenn seem like the next two.
The fact that Liam Cohen hasn't taken a job yet, though, I wonder if...
He's having a second interview today.
The Jags interviewed Spags, correct?
Yeah.
First
yeah,
interview. They did. I don't think it's going to be them again.
I just wonder if it, I don't know if it means that they're getting hired, but I wonder if it, if we get to next week and nobody's still been hired yet, I wonder if they're really waiting to interview Nagy or Spags again. If there's a, maybe a,
tell me if I'm
look
wrong,
ahead to
though.
Them getting hired or them having more interest than we might think than the other people.
Yeah, tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe I missed it, honestly. I know Spags got a Raiders request. I don't think Matt Nagy got requested by the Raiders.
You guys, I don't think so.
So I
don't think he did
yeah,
either.
So I don't think
so maybe
that's...
Spags, I guess. But so, I still think it's going to be... I don't know.
Spags right now, the odds offshore, and again, these could be wrong because they had Ben Johnson as the favorite 24 hours ago. But right now, offshore, the favorite would be Pete Carroll. He has the best odds currently to be the Raiders head coach.
Okay.
Brian Flores has the second best odds.
If I'm McCarthy and I'm Pete Carroll, it's the only job I wouldn't take. It's a death sentence.
But Pete Carroll
it's
wants back in.
End
Pete
of
wants
your
back in,
coaching
though.
Career.
I think Pete Carroll wants back in on the sideline, though. Like, he might do it just because he's like, I already got the ring. Like, I don't need to, like, you know what I mean?
He'll make them immediately, like, tough. Like, they're a harder division game. Like, every division game would have a little salt to it. If Carroll's one of the coaches, Harbaugh's the other coach, and Sean Payton's the third, that's three Hall of Fame coaches in your division to go with your Hall of Fame coach. I don't think there'd be, like, a lot of, like, run over easy outs. I think they'd piss you off.
I think you have quite a bit.
I think they'd beat you a lot, but they'd still make you mad.
I think the floor's higher, but the ceiling's still pretty low. Like Ben Johnson, there's a chance he could have been the next great offensive mind head coach. Pete Carroll, he's up there in age. Like, he's not going to be there for a decade, and ultimately they don't have a quarterback. So until they have that, I don't care who the Raiders hire.
Is there any inkling of where Joe Brady, because Joe Brady's been interviewed by multiple teams at this rate. I know he's got the LSU connection. I don't know if New Orleans is like, hey, you helped lead LSU to a national, you're part of the reason LSU won the national title with Joe Burrow and company. Maybe you've got recruiting interest there, like, you know, the area, not that that matters in the NFL, of course, but people are familiar with his name.
I don't know if teams care about this. I'd always be so funny. Like, I'm not, this is not to make me seem smarter, but I could have led that LSU offense to the national championship game. Are you kidding?
Ed Orgeron was the head coach, in fairness.
I could have won a national championship at OC with that LSU team.
True.
And that's not me saying I'm a genius of a coach. I'm just saying if you gave me a team with Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow.
Justin Jefferson.
And Justin
Terrence
Jefferson.
Marshall,
and
Clyde Terrence
I could have been the OC Patrick for Queen. That team. Hey, guys. We're going to run like the seven routes I remember on Madden, and that should probably cover us. Don't think we're going to have to get real deep into the playbook on this one. You guys just go beat a bunch of 20-year-olds who aren't nearly tall enough, fast enough, jump high enough to guard any of you all.
Is there a little bit of, I don't know, I know that Ben Johnson, I think we all feel the same that he's going to be really good. Is there also a chance that he's Brian Daboll? I know that Daniel Jones and I know that Caleb Williams and Daniel Jones are very different from each other, but is there a chance that, because Brian Daboll was like the wizard who helped develop Josh Allen. Josh Allen's fine without him. And he's got Joe Brady as the coordinator. Not that Jared Goff is going to be, you know, Josh Allen, but is there a chance that he's just Brian Daboll where it's okay?
Every year, dude. Every year there's the, like, Shane Steichen was the hot offensive coordinator name. It's not like he's turned the Colts around or whatever. Yeah.
So much of it is
situation. Kevin O'Connell was, and that's why, with the Vikings, so who the hell knows?
So much of it is situation, but I think actually if I'm a Bears fan, the reason why I'm happy other than just landing Ben Johnson is that He did have a choice, and when the situation is so crucial for you to succeed, he chose that situation, meaning he didn't get the GM that he wanted, and he probably, it tells me he loves Caleb Williams. It tells me that Correct. He really thinks Caleb Williams is one of those special dudes in the league. That's why he gave up what he could have had control-wise, we assume, in Jacksonville to a certain extent with Balky, or out in Las Vegas where they don't even have a GM yet. But yet he went to an organization that has questionable ownership, and they already have a general manager who a lot of Bears fans were kind of done with too. And now they're at least happy that he was able to land Ben Johnson. So Ryan Poles, of course, will have another year to succeed or two.
They must have a lot of respect in building, because Ryan Poles and Chris Ballard both could have a strong argument for have been fired by now, right? Like, easily could have made the argument for any of them to have been fired by now. And yet not fired yet. So, like, they must have a lot of internal respect for that, because it's funny, like any other thing. It's like, you can't be awful at any, like, at just one part of the job. You can be good at lots of parts of the job, like John Dorsey, and still get fired because you have no cap space and people skills. But, like, and you can be really good at the other parts, and it doesn't matter. If you're really bad at one, and in Ryan Poles' case has been really bad at developing quarterback play, which is the toughest thing to do in the NFL, admittedly, but still pretty ugly.
All 32 brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. So these tie in together. We all know that Roger Goodell recently has been speaking more and more about moving it to a 20-week schedule or an 18-game schedule, but most people think it'll end up being 20 weeks at that point, and then eliminating one of the preseason games.
Yeah.
We all know we used to have four, then it went to three, and potentially we could go down to two. The NFLPA is already making a mistake again. Like they're not pushing back.
Classic PA.
There's a report out there from NBC Sports that the NFL Players Association is hurting for money. You're like, how is the union hurting for money? Well, remember, they have normal employees. It's not just they represent the players, but there are normal employees in the office. And they've now been sending out buyout notices, and they're basically trying to, they haven't laid off anybody, but they're trying to get 30 plus year employees out because, you know, they're trying to cut costs. And this has to do with a lawsuit they lost with Panini. They breached a contract. They owed like $8 million, the union on the office side of it. And so, the adding games means more money for the union as well because they get a cut of it. And so there's a belief out there, NBC had a good write-up on this, that they've already screwed up, that they're not pushing back against the 18-game schedule the way they could. And so they're going to end up not really getting much out of it. But they need it to happen on the players' union side. I'm not talking about Patrick Mahomes. I'm talking about random office person, random executive at the NFLPA.
I think that that's probably how it's been going for a long time for the PA, and what you're probably pointing out is going to lead to the same thing. They won't have the right leadership, they won't have the right people in place, and then they'll end up giving up the 18 game fairly easy. Goodell's not even afraid to talk about it publicly. He's openly saying it.
He was on Jason Kelsey's ESPN Friday Night Show or whatever it's called.
Like, yeah, we could use an 18th game. And I mean, he's saying that to a former player who probably is like, man, we do not need that many games to go with it. For me on all 32, I want to point out something that's happening again with Ben Johnson, but also should be the way the coaching hiring practice is, because it is a true, true, true luxury. Kansas City's taught me this. Philadelphia's taught me this. And the best teams in the league. The one thing you should try to do if you're an established head coach is hire a former head coach to be your defensive coordinator. The job has gotten too big. For the longest time, what we allowed head coaches to do was also be the general manager. Job got too big. I think NFL head coach is too big of a job to worry about both the offensive side of the football and the defensive side of the football. So if you're an offensive-minded head coach, you should target former NFL head coaches to be your defensive coordinator. I don't care if it's Staley or Flores or Spags or Vic Fangio for the Philadelphia Eagles. There's been a lot of success in the NFL of taking those guys who used to be head coaches and just putting them in charge of the entire side of the football that got them hired as a head coach the first time.
I think there's truth to that. Now, some of them were just great DCs.
Like before,
Vic Fangio didn't need to become a head coach to be a great DC. He was already considered one of the great DCs. But overall, I get what you're saying. I would agree with it for the most part.
It's like having a second head coach and they just handled the side of the ball.
Like Robert Saleh, great coordinator, not the best head coach. And it looks like he might end up going back to San Francisco as their DC if the head coaching stuff doesn't work out. Basically, he's trying to see if he can get another head coaching gig. If not, it looks like Kyle Shanahan's going to bring back Robert Saleh to San Francisco, and he'll be a great coordinator. Some guys are just better as coordinators in this league. I get what you're saying. I guess my only thing would be, in order to become a head coach, they probably were already a great defensive coordinator in this, but
I get it, because it's like they would have had to have been a great DC in order to get a head coaching job. That's how Staley got the job or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just seems like they're giving them more responsibility. Like when they were a DC before, they were a DC, but like in the traditional sense where like you also still got to tell me what you're doing. I don't even know if Andy knows where that side of the building is, and I don't care. I don't care if he ever opens a meeting room door that defensive backs are meeting in. He doesn't need to. Steve Spagnuolo, in my opinion, by all accounts, is the head coach of the defense, and he handles everybody on the defensive side of the football. If Andy doesn't know the second-string linebacker's name, I don't care. If he passes Jack Cochran in the hallway and he's like, does he play for us?
Damn, just throwing
it. That's fine with me.
Friend of the show.
He's the backup.
Friend of the show, Jack Cochran.
He didn't do anything to deserve it. Playing board games, right? When they're playing Settlers of Catan or something?
I think that was him. Yeah.
I think it was
up at Insane Show when we talked to him.
Okay, so the Baltimore Ravens just got eliminated. But never fear, they
Drew
are...
Drew's very happy about that.
He was
that Bill
relieved.
Hader thing, like...
He was relieved.
You seem happy. Me? No!
He was relieved that another AFC That's North smart. Team didn't go on a run.
Yeah.
He hates the Ravens.
That is nice. But no, never fear, they're still very confident in Lamar Jackson, as they should be. But mm-hmm. Patrick Ricard said it's only a matter of time before they win a championship with Lamar Jackson, saying, quote, it's inevitable. He's going to win a Super Bowl, and I want to be a part of it. It just sucks that it hasn't happened yet.
Tell that to Dan Marino.
I'm going to be honest. It's taken a little bit now. Are we sure that it's inevitable? It might have been inevitable 2 or 3 years ago.
Inevitable.
I don't know about saying that now. That's a bold claim.
I would say that about any conference, Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback, and I can sure as hell tell you that. I wouldn't call anything inevitable as long as Patrick Mahomes is in this league.
Also, I don't know if I popped a blood vessel in my middle finger, but I was. So the reason, to give some background on this.
All right, yeah, let's hear what happens.
Yes, okay. Please.
Wait, this is right.
So the music is playing, and I'm like playing drum. You know how you like play the drums with your knuckles sometimes?
Oh my gosh! Did you really just slam your finger down on the desk?
No, I'm not doing. I'm just doing it lightly. I look down. I look down, and there is a bump, like a healthy bump. It's swollen. My middle finger is swollen at the knuckle right now, and it freaking hurts. Like, I'm dead serious.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what I did.
You got bad luck sometimes.
I don't know what I did, but it is.
You hit your finger on the board?
No, I'm playing so the music's playing, and I'm, you know
finger on the desk or something, maybe.
I'm playing the drums like to the music, like in the background, and I'm not doing it hard or vehemently or anything like that. I look down, and my middle finger really hurts, and it's swollen.
This just happened?
I went and asked Spec. That's why I left.
You trying to go home?
What?
An ice pack?
No, I asked Spec.
Go get the man some ice.
I asked Spec if he thinks I popped a blood vessel, because it's not dislocated. Like, I can still, like it's fine. But there is a bump on my middle finger, and it actually, like, to the top, it is painful.
Text lines.
It happened.
Text line. Text line says whoever has the song blocking, if Cody will go kiss Drew's finger to make it better, he can have his song play.
Oh, no. What kind of price tag is that?
No chance. Cody's not doing that, I don't think.
Nor am I allowing.
And Drew's not allowing
nor
that.
Nor am I allowing
that. On video, you'd be the more
on video would be the weirdest
forever?
Thing. Because, well, we have to stream. I'm saying it'd be on video. Someone says, Drew, is that really how you hurt your finger? They're wondering if this didn't occur at home.
No, it's happened just now. I'll show it to you guys during break.
Put you on IR for a... hand injury. Someone else gonna have to run the board. Finger injury.
I mean, I don't know what it is. It's painful though.
Are you capable of sending us to break, Drew?
Oh yeah, I can send you to
use
break.
Use your other
it's
hand,
fine.
You know.
See your other fingers, you know. All right. Up next, let's talk about the national title game last night. There's a lot of trickle down effect from it and narratives. That's for sure. Plus, one thing that did not occur when the Chiefs took on the Texans. That's next. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold. Cody Tapp with you. Drew Nixon injured.
Playing hurt.
Wait,
hurt or injured? That's the old adage, right? Are you hurt or are you injured?
I'm injured.
So injured means you can't play.
He's hurt.
Oh, well then yes, I'm hurt.
You're
I'm
hurt. Finger injury.
I
grabbed ice during the break.
I don't know what happened.
He literally hit his finger on the table.
I was playing the drums.
Go like this.
I don't know if I popped the blood vessel.
And his knuckle is swollen now.
You really are getting closer to 30 with these kind of injuries. Hurting your knuckle just working in a radio job? Imagine explaining the workman's comp on that.
I was playing fake drums at work. And
I wasn't even playing that hard, though.
Unbelievable.
If I did pop, if it is a pop blood vessel, is that like actually a problem, or is that just something?
No, it heals over time.
No, they heal.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Might be a little sensitive or whatever.
Yeah, but it'll heal. It's not like it's forever. You've got a pop blood vessel and you're screwed. Screwed for you.
Well, I didn't know if I needed to like go to the doctor if anything. Like, you know, they need to take care of it.
Go to the doctor. I mean, it'd have to look pretty weird. I think it'd have to get severe in a hurry.
If it swells up even worse, and then it's not just a blood vessel.
Honestly, man, I don't think I could tell the doctor that's how I got hurt. I'd be too embarrassed.
Yeah, I was playing air drums and drums on the desk.
I can't. I was like, I can't do this. I'm sorry.
Man.
I would tell him I'd make up some other thing, like I was saving a baby from under a trapped car or something. My finger scraped the ground. Can you take a look at it, Doc?
Someone says, what do Drew and Joe Burrow have in common? Small hands, hurt little fingers. Someone says you get injured like Joe Burrow. Is right.
I hope you're going to be okay, man. I really do.
Isn't that sad? Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are as healthy as can be, and they still can't beat Patrick Mahomes. Meanwhile,
I have also accepted my fate that the song is not going to air.
Yeah, it got blocked by a listener. He bought the pass. It got blocked today. Can't be on the show.
So I have placed it on social media upon editing a thing. And I don't feel like it deserves to just be there.
Well,
but the pass is the pass.
I'm going to listen to it, Cody.
I respect the pass. Thanks, man. Alex, you should probably just honor the block and just never,
never hear it.
Just
never.
Never hear it. Just veto it permanently in your mind. Also, the person who vetoed it should just veto it permanently, you know? Don't do yourself. You can just avoid my social media page and then you don't even have to run into this trouble. You know?
We'll get to the random question of the day in just a little bit. The national title game last night, for the first quarter, it was great. Like, the first quarter, really entertaining. Long drive to open up for Notre Dame. Like, here we go. And that was about it. Yeah. Ohio State was dominant throughout. I understand late in the game, it got to a point where if a third down stop would have occurred, then Notre Dame could have got the ball back and would have needed a touchdown and a two-point conversion to tie the game. There was never a point where Notre Dame, after that first quarter, had the football with a chance to take the lead. It was not all that competitive. I actually watched one episode of Landman during. Everybody's been telling me to watch that. I watched that in the third quarter. Then I got an alert, and I saw you guys in our group chat were sending a bunch of texts about this field goal thing, and I was like, what is going on? Next thing I know, all of a sudden, it was an eight-point game. So I watched the final 5 minutes or so of it, and that was it. But it was disappointing. This is why I think the whole weird victory lap thing about wild card weekend not being competitive was a mistake for everybody trashing the NFL.
Yes.
Because bad games happen all the time. In this case, I'd rather my national title game not be crappy. It wasn't a good game. I'm sorry. It wasn't.
No, I mean, I got it that they like gave some breath of life at the end of the game. But like, again, breath of life, like clinging on, hoping, praying that something would go your way. And I know that we're all kind of disappointed because we think Ryan A kind of sucks. So like,
yeah, someone asked me, I said, Gold, do you still think he's a jerk? And are you going to give him his flowers?
Winning makes him not a jerk?
I think he deserves credit for coaching. Ohio State fans are crazy. They wanted him fired for losing to Michigan and all this kind of stuff. Do I think he's not an a-hole now? No, why would that change just because he won a national title? No, I still think he's a jerk, but he's a hell of a coach. That's fine.
That's different.
Will Howard is who I'm happy for. Will Howard.
I am happy for Will.
Kind of got kicked out of K-State, and I understand the decision-making process. They're hoping Avery Johnson is going to be that dude. And when you can't spend $20 million on your roster like Ohio State,
you got to develop.
You got to have a dynamic quarterback that is capable of carrying a football team.
But it's still going to hurt a little bit to watch.
And Avery Johnson can do that. But I'm happy for Will Howard. He leaves Manhattan. He gets paid. He goes and wins a national title. He also improved his draft stock last night. So all around, couldn't have been a better night for him.
I actually like. If I were K-State fans, I don't think I'd like lure him as like Kansas State's great who won a national championship. I don't think it's like a great day for Kansas State fans or something. I'm not pretending that. But I also think you can recognize what their plan was and what is the economics of the sport. Yes, Will Howard is a good enough quarterback to win a national championship with. That was proven last night. Will Howard is a good enough quarterback that you recruited and developed to win a national championship. You deserve some credit for that out of K-State. But not at K-State, he's not good enough. At K-State, you have to aim higher. The reason why you have to aim higher is because you don't have a $40 million NIL budget like Ohio State has. You can't pair him up with the 18-year-old future number one overall pick in Jeremiah Smith and 78 other versions of this. That's just kind of the economics of the sport working against you, unfortunately. There are 10 teams in the SEC and probably 10 in the Big Ten who can spend more than you at the positions around quarterback. Will Howard had a great game. That pass to Jeremiah Smith. What a moment good. For him. That's going to be the moment of his college career. Sealed the national championship game.
Yeah, it was really impressive. I do wonder if a lot of discussion around the timing of it. Like some of it is we're in Kansas City and the Chiefs are going to their seventh straight AFC title game. But in general, a lot of people outside of Kansas City acknowledge there was no buzz for this game. The problem is the game's played on January 20th. Once you get way past New Year's, a lot of people are done with college football. It's NFL postseason time. This is not hating on college football. But it's just like, what can be done? Because there wasn't buzz around this game heading in, let alone if the game was great or not. And so I don't know what the solution is. Do you start the college football season earlier? Do you not have the gap? What do you do here to fix that? Because games taking place on January 20th, right after divisional round weekend in the NFL, it's always going to get lost.
They have so many gaps in the college football playoff. I have no idea why they make it spread out this long.
It's a week.
There's other times though before the college football playoff starts. They like some people had a month off before they even played a game. You can tighten the whole college football playoff schedule up. I really do. I try not to do this because it's hard because we watch enough sports. We know that really good coaches and really good players can make mistakes, can make errors, can make bad decisions. I'm going to try not to let because I was really impressed with what Marcus Freeman did at Notre Dame. That decision to kick that field goal with like 8 or 9 minutes to go in the game, is, and I called it in our text group last night, Nathaniel Hackett bad. Like, I'm worried you're an idiot bad. They were down 30 points literally the entire game. They were 5-6 yards away from a touchdown, and they decided to kick a field goal. They inevitably missed. I hated it before the miss, for the record.
It was even worse after the miss.
Yeah, the miss obviously made the decision worse, but they should have gone for it anyway. Because if you score there and get the 2-point conversion, there's 9 minutes left, and for the first time all game, you're only down a score. You only have to get one stop. I don't think coaches ever think about how many things have to go right when you get cowardly in the fourth quarter. So if you kick the field goal, you're down 2 scores, and now you're still down 2 scores. So you're down 16, now you're down 13. So you have to stop Ohio State, something you have not been able to do. Score a touchdown. Stop Ohio State again and score another touchdown in 9 minutes. Does that seem like something that's going to occur in a game in which you have 13 total points so far and they already have 30? You're going to do all that in 9 minutes? It's just not feasible. Or instead of that, you could just score a touchdown now. Then all you got to do is get one stop against Ohio State. And if you got to get two because they score a touchdown, well, you're in the same boat. Teams are just, it was just a really bad decision.
The first quarter was great. I thought we were in for a great game. Yeah, the first quarter was phenomenal. I know it was only two possessions, but they were both really impressive drives, entertaining football. There was good flow to it. There weren't penalties. It was just nice first quarter. And then Ohio State pulled away. They were clearly the better team. It's amazing. What the Michigan game honestly changed their entire season. The fact they lost to Michigan and the flag was planted changed everything for them.
This is also, it doesn't change who's going to win the national championship. I'm sure if you told me right now, if I looked at Underdog or you looked at FanDuel and we looked at the 10 favorites to win the national championship, I'm sure, without looking, and I swear to God, I haven't looked. Yeah. I guarantee you it's Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Oregon. Am I pretty close so far?
I don't know the odds, but probably, yeah.
It doesn't fundamentally change who the teams are who can win the national championship. But in the old system, I'm not sure Ohio State gets to be one of the four.
Well, no, they wouldn't. We know that. It's a fact. They were the eighth ranked team. So they would not have been in.
In the old system, a team that did win the national championship and gets to hoist the trophy wouldn't even have gotten a chance to compete for that trophy. I like a playoff system. Some people don't because it's a very American way to watch sports. I like it. I like the openness of if my team's in the dance, they got a chance to win.
Well, I think the playoffs are great.
Yeah.
Well, and if you think about
there's people who hate it because of, you know, they think it should go to the people who earned it this whole time. I don't know.
The big thing is that you want the games to all matter, where essentially the Michigan game didn't matter as much as it normally would have for Ohio State because they would have been knocked out. But if you watched,
they hung a flag.
That part doesn't matter. It's just that if they'd have lost, them losing to Michigan, it would have kicked them out. But if from watching the season all year long, Ohio State and Oregon were the two clearly best teams in the country all the way up until they were the best teams all year long. And for Oregon, it just came. I think that the quote unquote real national title, if you really want to label it that, which I don't like when that happens, but it was Oregon and Ohio State again, because whoever won that game I thought was going to go on to win the whole thing, and evidently it was Ohio State.
This is the way the playoffs work in this system. Is like, I'm sure you could say this if you're any other AFC team. Your draw matters. Ohio State got a good draw. Like a favorable-ish.
Ohio State also sucked.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly.
They still had to beat Tennessee and Oregon at the time. It was this is pretty brutal.
Notre Dame was probably the easiest draw.
Penn State's. Was the easiest draw.
Penn State and Notre Dame had the easiest of that was the two for sure.
Because they got to face each other too.
Penn State got to play. Was that
SMU?
SMU and then Boise State, and then it was Notre Dame or whatever. So.
Yeah, I mean there are a couple of teams that had far easier draws than Oregon, who was the best team all year. Everyone agrees was the best team the entire season.
Yeah, Oregon got
up. You know, it's probably just opening it up so some other essentially like football blue blood can win it. But at least it's something.
Well, let's get back to the Chiefs though for a little bit here in our championship. Coverage on Cody and Gold is presented by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. The wide receivers this week, I think we all recognize, are going to have to be more involved. It was surprising if you flip back and you realize that Xavier Worthy was the only wide receiver that had a catch. On one hand, well, Travis Kelce went for $117, so it didn't matter.
Nope.
My guess is the Buffalo Bills are going to do everything possible to make other guys have to be involved to the point where, hey, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us, but we're not letting Kelce go for $117. And certainly he will not be as wide open as the Texans allowed him to be. But Xavier Worthy found a way to get involved. Xavier Worthy also had his best catch of his NFL career, one of the best catches of the entire NFL season for any of the wide receiver room, considering the 50-50 ball. That was something that they haven't had a whole lot of over in recent years. We've discussed it with Mecole Hardman at times, and going back last year to MVS, that the ball tracking skill in the air is not something they've had really since Tyreek Hill.
It's been a weakness.
Yeah.
I mean, a straight up weakness for this team a number of times. It depends on how, like, this is the true maybe litmus test of glass half full, glass half empty. Because glass half empty is, just real quick, Hollywood Brown got one opportunity on a deep pass he should have caught that was a great ball and he didn't. And DeAndre Hopkins had zero catches for 0 yards. And no other member of the offense mattered at all. Glass half full is Xavier Worthy can be counted on the rest of the postseason run, which means now teams are going to try to work on covering Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy first, leaving DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown in single or lesser coverage or on the second or third corner, leaving the backfield more exposed. They're going to key in on those guys in this Buffalo game, and if they win, into the Super Bowl, and that's going to open things up for these guys who didn't show. I don't expect Hollywood Brown to be shut out for the entire playoffs. Less certain about DeAndre Hopkins. He straight up didn't play. Do we think he's hurt? Like, why wasn't Hopkins
makes
on the
me wonder,
field, I guess?
Makes me wonder a little bit.
We can ask Nate Taylor coming up in about 10 minutes, but, like, is he hurt? Haven't heard from him in a while, so that part will always kind of linger for me a little bit. I'm more worried about DeAndre Hopkins' ability to show up in the postseason than Hollywood Brown, who did at least have a ball in his chest. And
it's
was open
different
deep,
though
know?
Than a year ago when we would say, hey, X player is getting all these snaps with no production. DeAndre Hopkins is not even getting that many snaps.
No, he played like 18-20%, right?
Well, a year ago we would say, oh man, MVS is getting all these snaps, not doing anything. DeAndre Hopkins is just not getting any snaps. I'd be more concerned if it was the other way around, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Random question.
How's your finger, Drew?
Yeah, that's first question. How's your finger?
Still, is it throbbing?
I mean, it doesn't really hurt. It's still swelled up. I've had ice on it.
Mm-hmm.
I did think for a split second,
you know, rest
that ice, I kind of dislocated it, and I was trying to like push it. Like I was trying to feel around.
Jam it, don't start like yanking on it. That's not gonna help.
Here, actually, why don't you come in here and have Cody just completely pull it?
As
you know?
Someone
it
who
is better now,
as
though.
Someone who's jammed fingers but also actually dislocated them, you'd know if it was dislocated. You'd know.
I mean,
it'd be way out.
The way that it was protruding, the way that the knuckle
that's
was
a jam.
Was protruding out, it looked yeah. like
you jammed I, your knuckle jammed going like
and
this.
And if you apparently go yanking so, like, on it because you think it's dislocated and you're trying to put it back in yourself, if it's jammed, it's going to make it worse. That's not the question today. It's no medical related questions for you, Gold, for you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965 or over on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. Please like, subscribe over on those channels. We like to interact there as well. It is a question I had today. We were talking with Vinny about weather. We were talking about it before the show, so I'm going to take it to the air. If you had the choice of attending a sporting event in either this temperature, 0 degrees, or attending a sporting event in 100 degrees, which of the two would you prefer? We got into this before the show. I had hypothetically this because the Chiefs game is not really going to be 100 degrees. I had said a 0 degree Chiefs game, regular season against the Giants. Or a 100-degree Royals game against a regular division opponent, right? So let's take the opponent out of it. It is just 0 degrees for the Chiefs in a meaningless game or 100 degrees for the Royals in a meaningless game. I'll take the Royals. I'm not sitting out in this.
I'll take the Chiefs game, 0 degree weather every single time for a couple reasons. One, at a Chiefs game, you're standing up the whole darn game. You're cheering actively throughout. You're jumping around. You're high-fiving. There's a little more energy around constantly throughout the game. At a Royals game, and it's July, it's 110 degrees. There might only be 12,000 people there with you, so you're not like it's just you're not going to have the same environment. I think you're sitting around too much. There's not much ways to many ways to cool you down. I can go hand warmers. I can go long johns and all that. At a Royals game,
crazy. It's so cold.
At a Royals game, 110 degrees. What am I doing, Cody? I'm wearing the thinnest shorts and shirt possible. That's about it. I can't. I mean, there's nothing else for me
to
do.
You can drink cold beverages.
Yeah, for about a minute, they're cold.
Well, I mean, the same. The problem is in the cold weather.
Are there such things as cold? I mean, there's the cold towels you can do and everything. But I've got hand warmers. I've got the Under Armour like long john tight things or whatever. I've got boots. I got wool
they
socks.
Sometimes got
I got
the fans
all that.
With the water mister mm-hmm. going on at a Royals game.
Is,
you know,
yeah,
you can
is.
Find a cool down spot
at a Chiefs game. Not just like hey, walking outside, which would I rather have. I would choose the warm
outside,
weather.
Sporting
at a Chiefs game, 0 degrees every single time compared to the alternative.
What about you, Drew?
I think it's 100 degrees easy.
This is the Florida part.
I was going to say, I think I used to be more to the other side where you can always put
layer
more
up.
You can always put more clothes on. You can't always, you know, I mean, if you're in shorts and a t-shirt or a tank top, then you're kind of stuck there. Obviously,
we say that about clothes, but like, there's a limit before, like, you can't even use the restroom. You got too many layers on, you know? Yeah, there's not like an unlimited amount.
Now, take the Royals Chiefs thing out, because some people are picking it because of the Chiefs for short. Chiefs 100 degree weather or Chiefs zero is what you really need to do.
Yeah, that's
right. And I'll choose zero.
Equal playing.
And I'll choose zero.
Chiefs 100.
Chiefs 100.
100%. Shorts and flip flops and a t-shirt. I ain't going at zero. This weather's miserable.
Well, I think I guess another good example. I don't remember
dripping with sweat.
Someone says it probably depends on how big of a sweater you are. Like if you're a big sweater.
Some people are. Yeah, that's true.
There was a NASCAR race that I've been to back in Indy. Had of at least been 90. Tank top, you know, it's a cutoff tank top. Like you might as well look like you're just hanging around outside at the house. Like you got the shorts on, cut up tank top. You're sweating your ass off, but you know what? You're outside. If there's a little bit of a breeze as well, like everything in Royals, again, there's a little bit of a breeze, cools you off maybe a little bit.
Seems like it's a real mixed bag.
100
half
degrees,
the people are
I think
saying
it's
zero,
not
but half
close.
Are 100. Yeah. It probably just depends on if you're a winter or a summer type. And I know you prefer summer to winter.
For sure.
Certainly.
I feel like I've just kind of, having lived in Kansas City and gone to many, many Chiefs games, cold Chiefs games, I feel like I've mastered how to stay decently warm at a Chiefs game.
I also don't want
to. I have not figured out how I'm supposed to not be
baking.
Feeling disgusting and sweating and hot and miserable and getting lightheaded and all this kind of stuff at a 110 degree game.
I don't want this to sound like mean or rude or anything like that, but I really think your weight actually has something to do with it. I'm dead serious. You,
but
I am.
Alex isn't big.
It would be the opposite. You think I'd be freezing, right?
Yeah.
I think he's saying bigger people would prefer the cold.
I think that's what he said. I think he might be right.
I am skinny. I don't do the cold anyways.
Yeah, I don't know that you could get warm. What do you weigh, like 155 pounds?
Less than that.
Jeez.
What do you weigh, Drew?
I haven't weighed myself in a long while. Probably 145.
Oh, we've got this chart over here. We can start tracking. It still has the Cody and Gold numbers from 3 years ago.
Give me the warm weather because...
Someone says the Lions preseason game was 95+, and it was brutal.
Oh, a preseason game, too.
Someone says 0 degrees, no doubt.
Give me the 95 game.
I don't know.
Give me the 95 degree game.
Like, I'm not trying to stand out here.
You'll burn your leg on those seats that are roasting the sun.
I'll lose a toe out here.
You're not if you're bundled up. Some of the unfortunate people last year were not smart, not covering their ears at the Dolphins game. What did you expect was going to happen? You sit on some of those plastic seats at Arrowhead when it's 110, you'll burn your leg.
See, this argument, people would be like, you're just getting like terrible swamp ass sitting up the stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, let's be honest, you got 17 layers on at the Chiefs game. I don't think you smell great when you get home.
Not sweating, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you, like, it's all just, like, caking in there, slowly cooking on the inside.
Yeah, you go home and you take a hot shower and defrost your body, basically.
Well, I'd say cold showers. We lived in some places when we were growing up that didn't have any AC, so we just had box fans. Dude, in the summer, I would take a cold shower in the middle of summer and feel like $1 million.
Oh, sure.
No, yeah, 100%. I also think that, you know... You get a little suntan, you know. I'm trying to. You get tanner as well. There's also a perk there. Come on now.
Yeah.
You get to wear some shades.
I mean, you can wear plenty of
sunglasses.
It's gonna be.
I'll wear sunglasses when I leave today.
If it's freezing cold, I'm better off wearing. I might as well wear like a ski mask or some ski goggles instead of sunglasses.
All right. Up next, Nate Taylor. We'll ask him the same question. Our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. He's going to join us in studio. We'll get his thoughts on Chiefs Bills for another AFC title game.